Have you got your booth made yet? Well, that's okay. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Today's lesson is about there appeared a great wonder in heaven. And this is about Revelation chapter 12. Before I get started, does everybody know about tabernacles? Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles is when Jesus Christ was born. He was born on the first day of Tabernacles. And on the eighth day, check your Bibles out for Feast of Tabernacles. On the eighth day, he went to the temple. In the Bible, it says when he went to the temple, his mother sacrificed a dove. The Bible says that anything that's sacrificed to God on that day is a holy convocation. It's almost super holy. And that was the day that Jesus Christ was born and his mother sacrificed for him. I think that the Bible is just set up for Jesus Christ. But also, your heavens. The heavens are set up to proclaim Jesus Christ. And a lot of people, we've lost that knowledge over the years, and you have to read and study and really get into the study in order to find out what the name of these stars were. Because Adam named the animals, he named the trees, but God named the stars. In Psalms chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their word is to the ends of the world. In them hath he set the tabernacle for the sun, which is the bridegroom coming out of the chambers, and rejoices as a strong man run a race. His glory, his going forth is from the ends of the heavens, and the circuits unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." In Psalms chapter 147, verse 4, it says, "He telleth the number of the stars." That's estimated at 6 quadrillions, if you know what that means. That's a whole lot of zeros. "He calleth them all by their names." And this is one of the most wonderful studies, but we're not going to get into it today. We're just going to touch on it. There's a lot of books written years and years ago about the stars and how God proclaimed his glory in the stars. The Bible teaches that God's creation is shaped like a pyramid, and the creation shrouds his glory as a covering. And if you want a good study, go online, look up Gene Kim, and look at his latest, one of his latest videos. It's on this subject. His glory as a covering. His creation is a display of his plans for the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you and me. That's the devil's study about on the stars. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 33, verse, well, it's the whole chapter, Moses asked God to show him his glory. God shows Moses the creation. From the very beginning of creation, God took Moses in times past and displayed the heavens as they were being created. In the beginning was the heaven and the earth, and God shows Moses everything. You might not believe that, but you do your studying and you'll find out that the Apostle John was not the only one. He showed things that were way beyond the time table. John was taken about 3,000 years ahead Moses was taken about 2,000 years back, maybe more. In addition, why the stars are named the way they are, they proclaim every aspect of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the beginning of his creation to redeeming the world, and then the last part is judgment. It's like three books, and Bullinger describes them as three books. The creation is worn like a billboard garment with God. It hides who God really is. It's like this suit. I wear this suit to cover my nakedness. But one day, God's going to take off his garment. He's going to roll it up, and he's going to toss it into a fire, and he's going to burn it with a fervent heat. If you've never heard this before, this is old stuff. Creation was created to last eternity. But the fall of man, time began to click. And the earth is only supposed to last 7,000 years now. And scientists even say that everything is finite. Everything is burning up. Everything is burning out. Everything is about ready to stop. When that time stops, it will be the white throne judgment. God will take off his cloak. And just like Jesus Christ, when he came and died on the cross for our sins, they stripped him of his garment, shaped like a pyramid, like a poncho, that fit over him. And they took it off, and because it didn't have any seams, they cast lots for it. But they mocked his nakedness. At the white throne judgment, no one will be mocking God. They'll be screaming their guts out, "Throw me in the lake of fire, throw me in the lake of fire, get me away from this," because it'd be too much for them to handle. Only a person in a glorified body can handle such glory. Now, as a microscopic dot in this great creation that God has created, we have to ask ourselves a question in Psalms chapter 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, it talks about this garment. It is he that sitteth upon the circles of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Astronomy is the study of the stars in relation to what God's plan for his creation is. And it's all about glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Astrology is the devil's way to pervert man's knowledge of the stars and make it about me and not about him. And that's where our world is so messed up right now. And if anyone gets involved with astrology and the horoscopes and all the stuff that goes with it, you are one messed up puppy. And I've seen it destroy people. I've seen beautiful women get involved in this stuff, and within years, their looks leave them. And some of them won't even come out of the house unless they got a horoscope to read or a Ouija board to make contact with spirits. And they say they're Christians. That's why. Get in your Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. We'll be looking at Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, crieth, travailing with birth and pain to be delivered." We're looking at a constellations, actually two of them. We're looking at Virgo, which is the virgin, and Leo, which is the lion. When you go through the cosmos and you study, you go from right to left, and as you're studying, you start with the virgin, the seed bearer, the one who brought the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, and this is, of course, this is Israel, and then you follow the trail all the way to Leo, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he sets up his kingdom that lasts forever. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 9, it says, it talks about Joseph having a dream. And he dreams the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obedience to me. Of course, he's the 12th star. But all through the Bible lists all 12 constellations. But with these 12 constellations, there's 48 total constellations. Each one of these constellations has three more constellations connected to it that explains further the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's going to do. Back in 2017, they say that it's the first time that the constellations were ever aligned like Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. This only happens once every 7,000 years, they say. That same time, 2 months later, Trump declares Jerusalem the capital of Israel. If you go back 50 years, because this is a jubilee year for Israel, it started with the Feast of Trumpets. 50 years ago, Jerusalem became part of Israel in the 1973 Yom Kippur War. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God said, "Let there be light in the firmament of the heavens, and divide the days from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons for the days and the years." Now back then, everyone had this knowledge. God gave it to Adam, God gave it to Moses. And this knowledge went through, but with man and the devil, everything gets perverted. And if you ever say that I told you to go start studying astrology, I'll call you a liar. Astrology is from the devil. Astronomy is a study of the stars. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, that ye have no need that I write unto you, because everyone knew the times and the seasons and how to read the stars and how to tell what time of the year it was and all that." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of the light and children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of the darkness." Now, one thing you got to remember about this time that we're living in right now, this is a time of darkness. Amen. It's been dark for 2,000 years, but the light's about ready to come back on. And the thing is, if you're not living in the light right now, you'll never make it to the other side. You got to be saved. You've got to have the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to accept his sacrifice that he made for you on the cross of Calvary. Without that, you are on your way to a devil's hell. You know, when you think about this stuff, you have to admit that God has given us three witnesses. And he says that we are to have one, not one witness, but two witnesses or three witnesses. When you look at this, God gave us the constellations to look at. And I know we can't see them now, But when I was a kid, I used to lay back in my backyard out in the country and just look at the stars. And I'd be out there for hours just looking and wondering how wonderful and how great God was. And every once in a while, God would give me a little meteor going over, you know, or I'd see a few falling stars. But it was wonderful to look up at that Milky Way. And it was, and you older people, most of you are close to my age, have seen that at one time or another. But he also gives us the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22 says, "For Jews require a sign and the Greeks after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness." Well, let's look at this. Appeared another wonder in heaven. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and the seven crowns upon his head." The word dragon appears 13 times in the Bible. Seven heads is talking about the seven world empires, from the Tower of Babel with Nimrod, Assyrian with Sennacherib, that took the 10 northern tribes, took them up to Afghanistan and dropped them off, and they made their way back. And then you have Babylon, Nimrod, or Nebuchadnezzar. And then you have Medo-Persia, which is Cyrus. And then the Greek is Alexander the Great. And then you have the Roman Empire that still exists today. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 2 says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard." This is verse chapter 13. "And his feet was like a bear, and his mouth was a mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. And the three extra horns, where do they come from? You got seven crowns that rule, but you got ten horns." And of course, as you can see on my chart, if you can actually read it, lion is Persia. But it's also England, because England and Persia have a connection. Both countries gave the land back to Israel after many years. Both have winged lions as their symbols. And of course, the lion's wings are kind of shortened for England, because they turned against Israel. Then you have the bear of Greece. And Russia, if you go back and do some study in Russia, the guy that started Russia, he was a Roman. And he was from the Roman family. And he decided he was going to go up to Rome, and I'm going to create a new Roman Empire here in Russia. But they didn't have a language, and they didn't have a religion. So what did he do? He went down to Greece, got their alphabet, brought it up there, and wrote the Russian language. And they didn't have a religion, so he took Greek Orthodox religion and made it Russian Orthodox religion. There's a lot of similarities. I had a friend that was a historian, and we worked together for a lot of years, and he said I led him to the Lord. I don't remember, but he said I did. But anyway, he said that that Russia has something in their documents, their religious documents, that says that if Israel ever becomes a nation, that they will have to destroy Israel in order to maintain their own nation. I've never been able to find that, but that's what he said. Very smart guy. Reminds you of Spock. Talks like Spock, too. But he's very intelligent. He was promoted to counterintelligence. I think he's retired now, like me. The leopard is Rome, because a leopard represents an integrated cat. It's a mixture of cats. And America is connected to this type of country because we're meated people. We're a mixture of all races. Both have eagles as their symbol. Both have democratic governments for a little while longer. Of course, Rome still exists, and Rome, America still exists. And if you look at the way things are set up, you have England, who is over the finances. You have America, that's the military. And then you have Rome, who's the religious. That makes up Mystery Babylon. Now, this is a centaur. And look down here, he's got a spear, but he's trampling on a cross. So what does this actually mean before it became that? The despised sin offering. I think that's kind of neat, because it demonstrates how the Son of God would come and be crucified on a cross. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. In Revelation chapter 12, 4, it says, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was already to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Did I forget to pray? Our dear precious Heavenly Father, forgive me. Lord, I pray that you'll wash me and cleanse me. And Lord, I pray that you'll take this word and make it alive in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, help us to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me, Lord, for asking of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. For 6,000 years, the earth has been at war with the devil for the control of your souls. A lot of people don't realize that we're in a war, and they just kind of, you know, you see Christianity today is just so feminine. It's so weak. But the church is supposed to be made up of real men. Men that are willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time, including myself, I see Christians giving up, calling it quits, because not everyone is perfect. And we want everyone to be perfect. But the best man that I know, and he probably would kill me for saying this, best man that I know is that Keith DeKale. He suffers so much, but he's always got a good word to tell you about the Lord. He's always glorifying the Lord, no matter what. He's an example for all of us. We should be thankful for what we have. We are so close to the end. And I tell people all the time, do not quit. Don't quit. It's too close. Put it all in the hands of God. He's got his arms open up wide. He's saying, give me your cares, your troubles, and I'll take care of them. And he does. Hebrews chapter 1 verse or 12 verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And we can't be we can't allow the devil to win. Don't let anyone steal your crown. When Satan fell 33.3%, for all you Masons out there, of the angels fell with him. From the time the Lord Jesus Christ to today, the devil have rained havoc on the earth, and the further we get from God and his word, the stronger these creatures become around us. Every day you should be rebuking every spirit in your house that's not from the Holy Spirit. You should be careful about what you watch, what you give your time to, because if you're giving your time to a thing more than you are from God, for God, that is an idol in your hands. At the birth of Christ, I believe Satan attempted to destroy everything about that generation, including the 144,000 from the ages from 2 to 1 year old, or newborns. And these 144,000, of course, we talked about that before in Matthew chapter 2, verse 18, and Jeremiah chapter 31 through 15, how God is going to bring these 144,000 back that were killed from the top of Israel to the bottom of Israel, from coast to coast. He's going to bring them back, and they're going to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of heaven during the tribulational period. And you can read it from Jeremiah chapter 31, 15 through 17. I want you to study it. But after Jesus Christ was born, there's a constellation up there called Coma, but the real name is the Desired One. Jesus Christ is the Desired One. If you don't know him, and you don't desire him, it's because you don't know him. God put these constellations up there for a reason. Everything is about God. Everything is about glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, it says, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and then he was caught up after his resurrection. There's a 2,000-year period that has to be played out where the church is grafted in, and then it's going to go right back to Israel. The first time Joseph was with his brothers, they rejected him. They threw him in a pit, and then they sold him off into slavery. The second time they saw him, he was a king. And when he revealed himself to his brethren, they accepted him with weeping and wailing because of what they did to him. But Joseph was their salvation at the time, just like Jesus Christ is our salvation, but he's also the Jews' salvation, the Messiah. This pretty much settles it. There's only one who will rule with a rod of iron. Psalms chapter 2, verse 9, and Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, and there where she has a place prepared of God, and she and they should feed her 1,260 days, excuse me. Get a block. The nation of Israel right then in that passage jumps from a child being born to 2,000 years later. Where we're at right now. And this next phase of the Bible will be called the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, forgive me, I only had a day to get ready for this. So, pray for Keith DeKale. I mean, tell you, that it's terrible what he's going through. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 says, and this is the Jews, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn us. He will heal us, and he has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2,000 years, will he revive us, and the third day, the 1,000-year reign, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as a rain and as the latter rain and the former rain unto the earth." When you read this verse and you look at the stars in the heavens, when people say, well, you know, this could have happened and that could have happened. No. It's written up there. It's written in here, and it's past. So this clarifies we're not an afterthought. We've always been on his mind. When he came and died for our sins, he knew what was going to happen. God never is surprised. It's all written out. It's all played out. When you study these constellations, you find out that there we are right there. And we go from there to there, sitting on a throne next to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This stuff's amazing. Death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus knew who we were. In Isaiah chapter 61, we read this all the time, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek, and he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives, and to open up the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion." The Lord Jesus Christ is all about us. And I've said this last week, shouldn't we be about him? When you look at this beast, this dragon, and you start looking at this stuff, the beast, the man of sin, will show up. He has a body. He dies. He allows himself to be killed. He's dead. The soul of the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, I believe, is going to come up out of the grave, because he went to his own place after he hung himself. Now he's coming out of his place, the pit, in the fifth trumpet. When he comes up, he's going to go into this body, this dead body, and he's going to resurrect it. So you have a body, you have a soul, and then the dragon that gives these people power is going to be cast down to the earth. So you'll have the whole unholy Trinity here on this earth. And you do not want to be here. You don't want to have to go through this mess, because he hates anyone that has anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll go after any Jew that is available to be killed. And the remnant of believing Jews will have to flee into the wilderness. Now there's a dragon constellation pretty close to Virgo. It's called Draco. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him." Now, there's three falls to the dragon. Lucifer. And the name of this Draco, the original name, is the old serpent, or the devil, cast down from heaven. I bet Lucifer didn't make that one up. But there's three falls to Lucifer. First, he is cast out of the first heaven, and he dwelt in the second heaven. And he had access to make, accuse the saints. But then he was to be cast down to earth. And the Bible says, "Woe unto the inhabitants of earth." You better believe it. Because he's going to be angry and he's going to be wanting blood. I know it's dark in here and everybody wants to go to sleep, because that's our nature. We'll be done here in just a second. We fight amongst ourselves. We need to be right. Pride is destroying the churches. Set your pride away and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and let him rule and reign in your life. I know there's a lot of problems in every church. You can't find a perfect church. You come to my house, you're not going to find a perfect family. You're going to find problems. I can't help my wife. I mean, I tried. I love my wife to death. I've been married almost 47 years, and she's my sweetheart. And I joke with her all the time. She doesn't take jokes very well. Just warn you. But we're so easily beset by our sins. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, verse 1, it says, "Foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, and that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." These are people, the first century church. They saw, they were with Christ. They saw him crucified. They saw the miracles. They saw everything. They saw it all. And they were so easily beset because of what someone told them. That's why you have to stay in the Word. You got to stay in there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse or 6, verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The country that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ is turned over to a demonic ruling devil. A battle is being fought for the souls of this country. And we have, the church is losing. Because the church has departed from the Word of God. I know I say this a lot, but it's true. All you have to do is just take you a little history, make you a little timeline, put down there when these new Bibles started coming in, and watch the graph go down as far as morality. And we're at the bottom right now. In fact, we're past the bottom. They had to paste a piece of paper on that graph so you could continue to draw the line, because we're so depraved in this country. Daniel talks about it, about praying, and it took him 2 weeks for the angel to get back to him because he was fighting a battle in the heavens against the prince of Persia. And he says, when I go back, I'm going to have to fight with the prince of Grecia. Now he has to fight against the prince of America, or the plumed serpent. That's what America means, plumed serpent. So the Christians took this plumed serpent and turned it into a godly nation, and now it's being reversed into an ungodly nation. I had an African, I think I might have said this before, he wrote me and said, well, the problem with America is all those homosexuals. And I wrote him back and I said, well, only less than 1% are actually homosexuals and transvestites and all that stuff. But the news media wants you to think that they're everywhere and they're taking over our country. Well, they're trying to take over our country through your kids. Listen, fathers and grandfathers, your children are your heritage. Fight for them. Let them know you're not going to put up with this. So America is on the way out. But America will be around during the tribulational period, because it's going to help push the Antichrist agenda. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. We're up in heaven. We're the kingdom of our God. And we're happy he's gone. It's like an unwanted guest. My dad used to say, you know, guests are like fish. After 3 days, they start to stink. And he didn't like company. In fact, he didn't like to leave the house after he retired. And I don't think mom and dad ever took a trip anywhere. So me and my brother were determined that we weren't going to stay around, so we kind of moved around everywhere, you know. But the power of Christ. The devil doesn't stand a chance. And it's amazing to me how many Satanists are in this country and how they know what's going to happen. And, you know, this new Space Force, I keep up on this stuff. They're creating these new weapons and these new spaceships and stuff, and they're determined that they're going to fight against an invader of this world. The only problem is that invader is the Lord Jesus Christ. They know he's coming back. And they think in their foolishness that they can stop it. How ludicrous is it? How evil-minded and delusional are these people? When the Lord Jesus comes back, it's going to be a fiery episode. It's not going to be like, oh, here comes Jesus. No, what's that fireball coming at me at lightning speed? And before it's over with, it'll be like, it's gone. We're crispy critters. We're in hell. Some of these weapons that they're starting to use on the population is called these sonic weapons or frequency weapons, lasers. They think they can take over the world. They don't know my God. If they knew my God, they know that He is the Almighty, all-powerful, blessed Son of God, and He is God. In Isaiah chapter 14:12, I've taught this several times, it talks about the three falls of God, of the Lucifer, in this one little verse. First one is, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Second one is, how art thou cut down to the ground? We're reading that in 12:10, which didst weaken the nations. And that's when the millennial reign of Jesus Christ is over with, and Satan's turned loose for a short time. He deceives the nations into rebelling against Lord Jesus Christ, and God just slams them down. That's called Ezekiel chapter 38. Everybody's saying, oh, Ezekiel chapter 38, Ezekiel chapter 38. No, Ezekiel chapter 38 comes at the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. 39 comes at the end of the tribulation. That's the battle of Armageddon. Just read it. Is Israel resting safely in their nation right now? No, they're making peace agreements right now to divide the country into two sections, the Palestinian state and the Israeli. They're dividing the nations. What does that mean? The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back real soon. Because that's not their land, it's His land. Revelation chapter 12:11, and this will be the last verse we get through. Yay. And they overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. We also have but a short time. And you need to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to grab hold of Him. Hold on. Don't let the devil persuade you to go this way or that way. Just hang on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's a short time. We gotta hold on, because I want to have a crown to be able to cast down at Jesus' feet. And I think that He's going to take those crowns and He's going to wear them on His way back to this earth, because He wears many crowns. And what a privilege to have Him wear one of my crowns that I cast at His feet. And I know you feel the same way. So hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put some blinders on if you have to, but go in a straight path. The crooked path is the devil's path. But if you stay with the program and go with the Word of God, and you pray, and you learn to pray. And if God wakes you up at 3:00 in the morning, pray. If God wakes you up at 11 o'clock in the afternoon, pray. You got to learn how to pray and keep God as a focal point of your lives. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you for saving our wretched souls. And thank you, Lord, for providing everything for my salvation. Lord, I didn't bring anything into this. Lord, I'm trusting you, and I'm putting my faith and trust in the Almighty and all-powerful God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. I pray for Keith DeKell, Lord, today, and I pray that you'll heal his body and raise him up. And I pray for our pastor as he gets up here and preaches. I pray that the Word of God will be expounded and that our hearts will be enlightened and that we'll be encouraged to continue on and standing for the Word of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name, for asking in Jesus Christ. Amen.